We're following this picture of Paul and Timothy and their interaction, their specifically Paul's letter to Timothy. After the Apostle Paul left his apprentice, Timothy, in a place called Ephesus, in a church that was somewhat full of problems. Actually, very full of problems. And, you know, he wrote this letter, 2 Timothy, to his apprentice Timothy very soon before he died, very soon before the Apostle Paul was martyred. And you could say, in a way, this is somewhat the last words of a man soon to be, you know, leaving earth to his disciple who was in a difficult situation. You know, the church there was not glorious. It was full of problems. Timothy was facing great challenges. And so Paul gave him these little pieces of advice to help him in his life. And, you know, I think it's a good mirror for us. How can we get through life's challenges? How can we get through things that happen, that challenge our Christian life, challenge our family life, challenge our career life? Paul brings this one matter to Timothy. And I'd like to read this 2 Timothy 1:14. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. In 2 Timothy 4:22, Paul says, the Lord be with your... And you know what happens? The Holy Spirit witnesses with that Spirit, I am related to God my Father. That's what the verse says. The Holy Spirit himself witnesses. Excuse me. Just getting over a cold. The Holy Spirit himself witnesses with our spirit. Can somebody give me a glass of water? Or else I won't make it through the... Excuse me. The Holy Spirit himself witnesses that we are children of God. So, you know, when you become a Christian, this is what happens. Another life comes into you. When you become a believer in Jesus, thank you. She's getting it. Yeah. Get it. Let me go back here. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, what happens is your spirit is born. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And your spirit is born. And then you become a child of the Heavenly Father, the child of God. And it's, you know, if you would ask me to explain how does that happen, I would say, I can't explain how it happens. But before you believe in Jesus, you're not a child of God. And after you believe in Jesus, you know what? You are a child of God. You become a child of God. Thank you. Much better. You become a child of God. And, you know, it opens the door to this spiritual experience. It's a spiritual experience. And how do you know there's a spiritual, or how do you know you're a child of God? There's just a witness of the Holy Spirit. You should try this. Everyone who is a believer in Jesus right now, just like close your eyes, or everyone close your eyes, and you could just say, I am a child of God. You know, there's a certain kind of witness with the Holy Spirit right there. And you know what it says? Amen. I am a child of God. And it's interesting. You know, the center of the Christian life is in that spirit, that human spirit, where the Holy Spirit is witnessing. And it's amazing how this works, because sometimes people feel like this. Wow, when I feel joyful or happy or when I feel elated, things are going well, then I sense God's presence all around me. And then, you know, then it's very easy to say, oh yeah, I am a child of God. I have this sense of God's presence. Things went well, you know, I'm comfortable. I feel protected. But then it also works the other way. Maybe you're not feeling so well. Maybe you're feeling oppressed. Maybe you're feeling some kind of challenge in your environment, challenge in your family, challenge in yourself. And, you know, things are not good on the outside, but inside you still feel, yeah, I am a child of God. You know what that is? That's your spirit. It's different from your feelings. It's not an emotional thing, although it can be connected to emotions. But sometimes when you feel really happy, you realize, I am a child of God, yes. And sometimes when you feel really confused and feels like you're in darkness, but you know what? That sense is still there. The witness is still there. What does this mean? It means it's touching this part inside of you called your human spirit. It's different from your feelings. You know, if a person really has this sense, oh yeah, I have the Holy Spirit is witnessing with my spirit, they become firm. They become very, very enlivened. They become firm. They become steady in their Christian life. And it's beyond even knowing things. You know, it's very helpful to know the Bible. I recommend everyone. It's very, very helpful to know the Bible. But you know what? To have the witness of the Holy Spirit in your spirit, it's not necessary to know things. You don't need to get a PhD in theology. You don't need to have read the whole Bible. You can be a very, very uneducated person, and you still have that witness in you. Oh, when I say I am a child of God, what is it? The Spirit says, yes, you are a child of God. I was talking to this one person. He was trying to study the Bible in a person's basement for 1 year. You know, he was living in a person's basement, trying to study the Bible for 1 year. And then he said, Rex, I'm still not quite sure if I am a Christian. I don't know if I'm a Christian. And then I was just, you know what? He was all, his Christianity was all up here. He was looking how to work it out, mentally, how to work it out theologically, how to work it out, you know. And I say, there's value in all of that, to try to work things out theologically, try to work things out mentally. But you know what? This is more than that. It's something deeper. It's something in your spirit. Patrick, you stand in the front row. Oh, no. Come on up. Patrick, do you know the whole Bible?
No.
No. How can you be a Christian then? How do you know you're saved? How do you know that you're a child of God? You don't know the whole Bible. You just said it. You just confessed in front of this whole congregation. You do not know the whole Bible. How do you know?
Spirit witnesses with my spirit.
Yeah. It's something. It's beyond just knowing. It's touching. It's beyond mental understanding. It is touching the living God. It's beyond an understanding of the proper doctrines of salvation. Many people have the proper understanding of the doctrines of salvation. It's important, but it doesn't mean they're a child of God. You know what means a child of God? The Spirit witnesses with my spirit that I am a child of God. Can you just say that to us? I'm a child of God.
I am a child of God.
Yeah. Don't you even feel something when he says that? Yeah, yeah. You know, it's this way. And have you ever had a really bad day, really bad week, really bad month?
Of course.
Really bad year? Yeah, me too. Did you still have that witness inside you?
Still do.
Yeah. Have you ever had good days, good months, good years?
Really good days.
Yeah. And did you have that witness in you?
I did.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. You know, thank you. There was just a spot interview. Thank you. On the spot interview. There you have it. You know, it's a spirit. It is not just a mental thing. It is not just a, you know, you ask, where does where does a real Christian experience take place? It is not just mental understanding, although that's important. It is not just an emotional feeling, although that's very good. But mainly, it is something very solid. It is your human spirit. And so it's fascinating. I know I've known people that study the Bible for a long time. And it's just kind of like it's hard to get the cogs rolling. But then they just say this one really silly thing. You know what the silly thing is? They just say this one really silly thing. It's something like this. Jesus, I love you. And you know, sometimes a Jesus, I love you can do so much more. Why? Just kind of gets those cogs rolling. Or it's kind of like, Father, God, you are my Father. And you know what? The Spirit witnesses with my spirit. Oh, I am a child of God. Let me tell you, where is the fountain of your Christian life? Where is the source of vitality? Where is the source of energy? Where is the source of life? It is all in this. The Holy Spirit witnesses with my spirit. And if you can be in that, you know what? There'll be storms. But you know what? I'm solid inside. There'll be really good times. There'll be joyful times, times when everything's going well. And you know what? I don't miss the Lord. I don't leave the Lord. Why? I am not serving the Lord because of my mental understanding of what He is. I am not serving the Lord because I feel good at this moment. No, I am serving the Lord because there is a witness of the Holy Spirit in my spirit. And when I say, oh God, I am your son, there's a spirit that says, yes, my child. Yes, my child. And it's really good to have God say that to you. Yes, Zane, you are my child. And what is a Christian life? It's that. You're a child of God. A child. Paul was reminding Timothy of this very thing. Timothy was facing hardship in the church in Ephesus, where he was, you know, sent by Paul. And he said, you know, in 1 Timothy 1, 6 and 7, for this reason, I remind you to fan in the flame the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. And he says this, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And it's like, Paul is defining to Timothy, what kind of spirit do you have? What kind of spirit has God given you? It's almost like this. You know, you have a body. You know, body is very simple. It's physical and it's easy to understand. It's not hard to understand fully, but it's easy to recognize. And then inside, you have your personality. That's who you are. And that is not something that is, able to interact with God. Your personality. You can go on autopilot. People interact with the world around them without interacting with God. It happens all the time. You could call it your soul. You could call it your mind. You could call it your personality. There's that part. But then there is this other part inside of you, different from your personality. This is your spirit. And Paul is telling this. Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of fear. In other words, in that spirit, there's not a spirit of fear. It's not characterized by fear. It's not characterized by cowardice. It's not characterized by timidity. But it's characterized by these three things. You know what it's characterized by? Number one, power. Number two, love. And number three, self-control. It's power. Power. You know what you need? To follow the Lord. And I'm not talking about following the Lord for 5 minutes. I'm talking about following the Lord for decades, for your whole life. You know what you need sometimes to make that final, that final decision? I believe in Jesus. I need Jesus. You know what you need? You need power. Power. Power to do this. Let me tell you, the biggest power that you need, power to change a human being. That is power. When I was in Africa, I noticed this one. This one instance of power. I was talking to this one person, and grew up in a village. They were worshippers of like idol worshippers, and their junior high son got very sick. And I was talking to the junior high son that was very sick, and they were worshiping idols, and so they went to a witch doctor to find out the fate of their son. And the witch doctor said, your son is going to die. And, it's hopeless. And then they went to a Christian church in Ghana, in Africa, and they said, our son is very sick. And the church said, we will pray for him. The church prayed, and you know what? The son got healed. And then, so they just did this comparison. Let's see, witch doctor said he would die. Church prayed and said, and then he got healed. And so then the whole family made a decision, and they decided to believe in Jesus. Isn't that a good story? That's power right there. That's very good. And there's a certain kind of, there was a certain kind of testimony there. And then I was talking to the son who was in college by now. He should have been dead according to the witch doctor, and he was in college. And you know what? He was loving the Lord and serving the Lord. It was a wonderful story. There's a certain kind of power. You know what spirit we have? We don't have a spirit of fear. Don't have a spirit of timidity. Don't have a spirit of cowardice. It's a spirit of power. There's something there. There's something of power that causes a person who has lived decades of life to finally realize, you know what? I cannot handle my life. I need something. Talking to a 40-plus person. This is a while ago. And he said, you know what? Most of my life, I was self-sufficient. I could do my own thing. If I set my goal this way, I could work it out. And then I just am finally realizing I cannot do it. You know what I call that? I call that a work of power. A work of power to make somebody realize, oh, they're not complete. They cannot do it. They need something divine. They need God. They need, oh, that J word, Jesus. Oh, no. What is that? It's power. Power. Have you ever heard this? You keep saying you're sorry, but you never change. Have you ever heard that? I heard that one time a brother was like, Rex, you keep saying you're sorry, but you never change. I was like, then I just realized, okay, this shows that, it's a little bit hard to change. It's easier to say I'm sorry than to change. But you know where there's power to change a person? Spirit. Spirit. And for some reason, when you touch this spirit, you could have a bad month, a bad year, a bad whatever, and you touch the spirit, and you just have this sense like, hey, there's power there. There's a way to change. There's a way to change. It almost doesn't make sense. You know why? It's not in your mentality. It's not like, how can I do it? It's more like this. Just trust the spirit. Just trust the Holy Spirit. And it's love. Love. Oh my goodness. Spirit of love. Husbands, love your wives. Sometimes a husband just runs out of love. Like, where does love come from? Well, you know where love comes from? It comes from the Spirit. Spirit. It's like there's a source there that has no expiration. It's like there's a source there because it's a human spirit, but it's indwelt with, and there's a witness to it of the Holy Spirit. And at the end, it's like the Lord be with your spirit. And so So you think about all of the resources of God. How can they be accessible to us? It's not by a right understanding. It's not by finding the right kind of angle of looking at things. You know how they become accessible to us. It is by the Holy Spirit and by your Spirit within. Oh, what a great thing to say. God, I am out of love. And you know what? He would say, hey, this verse says, God has not given you a spirit of timidity. He has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of love. And you just touch the Spirit. Touch the Spirit. And you know what? There's love for the wife. There's love for your husband. There's love for your children, even when they're so bad. There's love for the church. Love for the people in the church. Patrick, have I ever bothered you? Oh, okay. Who have I bothered here? I bothered. Oh, yeah. Okay, Peter. Peter, have I ever bothered you? Have I bothered you a lot? Do you still love me? See, this man knows his Spirit. I can bother him so much, and he still loves me. Why? This is Spirit. Spirit of love. And of self-control. Wise decisions. That's what it means, a wise decision. Oh my goodness, so many decisions we have in our life. Where's the wisdom for those decisions? And you think, well, are they with my, you can consider things, consider all of the ramifications, consider all the possibilities, and consider, you can make the chessboard like, 5 moves in advance, 10 moves in advance. But in the end, you need wisdom. And that wisdom, it's got to come from God. What is it? You just touch your Spirit as you realize, oh, I am not afraid. I have a Spirit. I can make this decision. Step forward. What is that? God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, self-control. I was thinking, wow, if you would think of the perfect person, I would make these as major characteristics of a perfect person. Power. But if you have power without love, it's really harsh. So anyway, so you have power and then love. So it's not just, woman, make me my dinner. You know, it's not that kind of power. But it's, as a man, I will lead my family. But it's also, there's love and it's right, it's balanced. And then there's self-control and wise decision. Doesn't that sound like a pretty good person? If you saw a person powerful, loving, and they made wise decisions. Well, let me tell you, you know where that perfect person is? It is in your Spirit. Your spirit. Isn't it a great thing that the Bible charges us? Walk in Spirit. Walk in Spirit. Walk in this. It doesn't mean you will make no mistakes, but hey, isn't it great to have this kind of Spirit in us? Timothy was there and he was afraid, and oh, it's so easy to be afraid and paralyzed. You're afraid of every kind of thing. You become timid. And this is true in serving in the Christian life. It's true in, taking responsibility in family life. True in taking responsibility in every kind of life. There's just this timidity that comes in. But you know, the more you know your Spirit, the more you are a different kind of person. A different kind of person. One time, I experienced this. You can experience this in a lot of different places. And you know, one time I was with this guy, and he was said, Rex, let's go talk to strangers and talk to them about Jesus. And I was like, I'm not really in the mood right now, but let's go. And this is what he did. He just went up to, this one person, and it's like, hey, I want to talk to you. And then this guy got something in his eye, and he was, the person I was going with got something in his eye. And so he just started, oh, just like this. And I was like, well, you just asked to talk to this person. How can you, why don't just stop taking care of your eye, just start talking to this person, and just got, and then the person just walked away. And I was so encouraged by that whole thing. Because you know what? It's like, before I was just so afraid of everything. I was so afraid, like, what will they think? What will they do? If we go approach a stranger, you know, will they hit us? Will they whatever? And I just saw this guy. He just totally messed up the whole thing. It's like, you know what? I'm not afraid. I'm not timid. There's power. Yeah, you know, let's go talk to another person. Let's go. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of sober-mindedness and of this kind of self-control. Oh, yeah. By the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, guard the deposit entrusted in you. I like this. Tim, come here. You'll be an example real quick. You know, in Timothy, his name is Tim also, so... I have on my notes, God has invested something in Tim. It meant Timothy, but this is Timothy also. Has God invested something in you?
Yeah, I think.
What?
I know.
I hope. What has he invested in you?
His spirit.
Good, good. That's very good. What else? Do you know God?
I know God.
Yeah, that's an investment there. You know some of the Bible? Do you love people?
I love people.
Do you want to preach the gospel to them and tell them about Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you want to help people? Mm-hmm. You want to serve the church? Mm-hmm. You want to give your life for Christ?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty good, right? I can't think of another question. You want to sell all your possessions? Anyway, give to the poor. Okay.
What positions?
Oh, you have a possession beginning with a C, right? Cello.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. So God has something in you. And you know what? That's very precious. And you know what? Nothing in your life will assist you in keeping all of those things. Nothing. Nothing. Let me tell you the cold, hard truth. The world will not help you keep all of that deposit. Where will you be in 10 years? Do you know? No.
No clue.
No clue.
Hopefully serving the Lord.
Hopefully serving the Lord. That's right. Hopefully serving the Lord. You could ask Rex, where will you be in 10 years? I have the same answer. Hopefully serving the Lord. So that's why Paul tells Timothy, you know what? You need to guard that. Guard it. Like if you love the Lord 1 ounce today, you know what you need to do? You need to guard it. Because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen in a week. How do you guard it? 2 Timothy 1:14.
By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us.
That's right. By the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. It's not by, oh, just learn this more. No, I mean, I really encourage you to learn this more, but that's not what my message is on. By the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. So, Tim, you have to be very, very close to the Holy Spirit. To the Holy Spirit. It's very, very close. And it's just amazing. Thank you. You can sit down. Thank you for the deposit in you. It's very interesting. You touch the Spirit. You touch the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That deposit is guarded. The deposit is guarded. I was talking to this one sister. She, was not really, really serving the Lord. Not really serving the Lord. And she went to this one, she went to a concert, a Christian concert. And you know what I think she did at that concert? She really touched the Holy Spirit, touched the Holy Spirit at a Christian concert, singing with all of her heart, everything like that. And she just came back and she just wanted to serve the Lord. It was interesting. It's like, who told you that? It's like, I don't know who told me that. But you know what? By some chance, she touched the Holy Spirit. And to touch that Spirit, there was a guarding already right there. And the deposit that was in her was kind of like coming to the surface. It's coming to the surface. When we just say, you know, the touch of the Holy Spirit, it's not a rocket science. It's not like a big formula to do. What is touching the Holy Spirit? Well, I encourage you, sing with all of your heart. That's a really good way. Sing to the Lord in the Spirit. Other way is this. You know, there's a verse. There was one verse that says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. You just try it, or just tell him right out loud, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. And sometimes there's like all these negative thoughts come in about you. You know, just where do they come from? I don't know. But, you know, people have all kinds of negative thoughts about them. Right in the middle of the negative thoughts, you could say, yeah, they may be right or wrong, but Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh, Jesus. And what are you doing? You just have a little taste of the Holy Spirit. And you know what happened? Guard. You know what happened? The deposit is guarded. You become a person very close to the Lord. You become a person with a deposit just protected from the world. You're with the Lord. Because why? 2 Timothy 4:22 says this, the Lord be with your spirit. The Lord be with your spirit. It's with your spirit. Not in your understanding. Understanding may be confused. Understanding may be clear. But the Lord can still be with your spirit. The Lord is not with your feelings. No, your feelings may be joyful. Your feelings may be very sad. Your feelings may be elated. Your feelings may be very down. But the Lord is not with your feelings. Where is the Lord? The Lord is with your spirit. And it's different. It's a different source. And what is the source of the Christian life? The source of the Christian life is this spirit. The Lord be with your spirit. It's very good to know, oh, I gotta get to the Lord. How do I get to the Lord? I need to get to my spirit. The Lord be with your spirit. Lord be with your spirit. It's beyond reasonings, beyond feelings, beyond the right way, beyond the way that's always worked, beyond the way that's never worked, beyond different, beyond the same. Where? It's the spirit. And you try something really simple. I've seen it work. I've seen it work right in front of my eyes. A person who just a little confused, and then they just say this, Dear Lord, or something like that, Jesus, I love you, or Jesus, I need you. I've seen it work right in front of my eyes, and you know what? The Lord is there. Why? The Lord is with your spirit. Spirit. It's spirit. Well, you know why it's so powerful? Because of this next verse, I'll just say this little phrase and end. 2 Corinthians 3:6. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You know what? The Spirit gives life. Why is it so effective to know the Spirit? Because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And what is God in the business of doing? Giving life. I like to look at my, think about my old driveway. It was this asphalt, dead, hard. But it was invaded by a lot of little seeds. And you know the advantage those seeds had over that asphalt that was hard and dead and oily? They had life. And I didn't like that life because I had to pick weeds out of my driveway. But it's a really good illustration of your heart and my heart. You know what our hearts are like? Asphalt driveways. You know what we need? We need the Spirit to give life. It's just like scattering seeds. in the hard places in your heart, in the hard places in your soul, in the hard places in your understanding, in all the wounds that have taken place over your lifetime. The things you shouldn't have gone through, the things you went through because of your own doing, the things you went through because of other people's doings. And then there's a little experience of the Spirit, and there's just a casting of seeds. What? The Spirit gives life. And then you touch the Spirit, and you just realize, ah, I'm enlivened. You touch the Spirit, and you realize, ah, I'm energized. You touch the Spirit, and you realize, I'm really hopeful. In my service to the Lord, you touch the Spirit, you realize, I'm really hopeful in my life before the Lord, and there's many obstacles before me, but you know what? There is a way for the Lord to break through. Why? The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You know what we need in our life? We need these two spirits to be working all the time. The Holy Spirit witnessing with our human spirit. And you know what? That's the center of the Christian life. I'll stop there, and we can just have prayer. Anyone is free to pray, and we'll close the meeting.